Welcome to Career Tools. Today's cast, when to go above and beyond. The questions this cast answers are, when is the right time to go above and beyond? Why should I not always go above and beyond? And in what areas should I avoid going above and beyond? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. If you and your team are struggling with workplace communications and you think the answer is going to Google, well, good luck. You'll be presented with 14 simple rules that'll make you a better communicator, 7 easy steps, 9 effective strategies, and 5 super effective ways to be a better communicator. But if what you're looking for is one easy way to be an effective communicator as fast as you possibly can, it's by the Effective Relationship series. Go online, manager-tools.com/products, and get yourself the Effective Relationship series today. This topic, I feel like, is pretty interesting in that it seems a little controversial. I mean, going above and beyond. It just seems like the best advice for a successful career basically 100% of time. So, isn't doing more than you've been asked to, showing how smart you are, how creative you are, how innovative you are, aren't all of those things the exact things that are supposed to get you ahead in your career? And the answer is, well, yeah, and no sometimes. So, in terms of the workforce, when we're in new workplaces, for example, one of the ways we often go to the rails is by pursuing our dream ideas or satisfying our wish to help our colleagues or our customers or whomever it may be that we want to impress. And when that is in the best interest of the organization, it's great. And it's problematic when it's not in the best interests of your organization. And if you're new to your organization, you may not know the difference in that there's a time and a place, and knowing when and where your effort will be appreciated is a critical career skill to learn. So today's guidance will help you understand when to go above and beyond.
Today, we are going to cover examples of going above and beyond, when you have talked to your boss, when you have had enough time, when you have enough resources, when there's a big impact, when you won't drop any balls, and when you have career goals in this area.
Love it. All right. So we're going to start with examples of going above and beyond, which, I mean, let me be clear. When I thought about the need for examples, I thought, isn't this kind of basic and simplistic? But it's really not entirely, in that when we're talking about going above and beyond, we're not just talking about, hey, someone asks for an extra 3 minutes and you spend it. We're not just suggesting that you temper your want to bring your coworker a coffee when you run over to the Starbucks. Like, we're going to draw out some examples for the group of what it looks like to go above and beyond, because we want that phrase, that statement, to be one that's behavioral. And even though we talk a lot in things like job interviews about going above and beyond isn't behavioral. We talk a lot about behaviors in our conferences. And one thing I often say is, unless you can envision in your mind's eye what someone is doing, it's not a behavior. Unless you can literally close your eyes and see what it looks like when a person is going above and beyond, it's not a behavior. So we're going to run through some examples for the group of things that they may have seen, may have done, but the above and beyond being an actual description of behaviors. So you know more about what it looks like to go above and beyond. So before we talk about the actual, what does this look like, we're going to give some behavioral examples so we're all in agreement of what this means.
Our first example is Ethan stays late for several nights to ensure a deadline is met for a client deliverable when a teammate is off sick and can't do his own work. The next example, Olivia calls customers to check in and see how they're doing, even if there's no news or issues to discuss. She believes regular touch bases is what keeps them loyal to the company. Now, Christopher creates a free graphic design of a poster for an event that a customer is hosting as a demonstration of the work that he can do in the hope that the customer will commit to a year of work with his company. Another example, Emma creates a database for her team, which allows them to look up products that are currently being offered or which were offered and shows all the components that were included in that offering. Another one would be, Michael documents the onboarding process for the team. Lastly, Sophia creates a financial analysis looking for a correlation between advertising and sales and finds a connection that can be exploited.
Mm-hmm. So, as you can see from Amanda's examples, it's more than something that will take you 5 minutes. Right? It's going to take you a little bit more time. Above and beyond isn't just a general nicety for a colleague. It's actually some time and effort being invested in this activity, which is why the first thing we're going to talk about is going above and beyond when you've talked to your boss. Now, there's a temptation here. I think we've kind of all had it, right? We want to be the golden boy, right?
I think everyone has, yeah.
Right?
And if you haven't, you maybe should have.
I know, right? Oops. But we don't need to worry about that because all of the people listening to this podcast have definitely done it. So nothing to worry about there. All right. So there's a temptation for this above and beyond behavior to occur first, and then we tell our boss about it. And we do not recommend that you do this. We'll explain why in a second. But first, we'll describe the impulse. There's just, it's natural. It's human somehow. There's something about doing something extra that just feels so much better when it can be revealed as a fait accompli and as a grand surprise after the fact, right? It feels like, I don't know, a great birthday prize or a surprise proposal. That's just something that's so much better when you show a complete, wonderful product to your boss and they had no idea you were working on it to begin with.
Like a ta-da moment.
Ta-da! Exactly.
But work isn't like this. Mm-mm. This is not your personal life.
No.
And it's not the right place for secrets. Even if they're good,
the good kind of secrets.
Yeah. No, this is not the time or the place. It's not the time or place for surprises or proposals that haven't been discussed. Now, there's a difference, and here it is. When you're planning a surprise birthday present for someone you love, you know all the details that you need to know.
Uh-huh.
You have all the knowledge of their wants and desires, and you know their taste,
mm-hmm.
their budget, their friends.
Yeah.
And their tolerance for risk. Because I'm going to throw it out there. Not everyone loves surprises.
Yeah, exactly. But you know,
but that's the thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
You wouldn't surprise a person that you know who hates surprises. It's your personal life. You know enough to not step in it.
Yeah. And at work, you know a lot about your job and a small part of your boss's job. You don't know that big picture, that whole story. And you know even less about the top of that organization.
Yeah.
You know a lot about you, but not a lot about the behind the scenes or that big picture.
Exactly. So when you create a surprise for someone you love, the knowledge that you possess of that person minimizes the risk of something going wrong. When you create surprises at work, the limit of your knowledge maximizes the risk of something going wildly wrong. And going wrong just might mean you waste a whole bunch of time on something that isn't a priority. It might mean you waste a little or a lot of company money on something that can't be returned and cannot be refunded. It might mean you promise a customer something that can't be delivered and your boss has to go to that important customer and in order to keep the business, apologize to that customer. And it might be even worse. It might mean you do something that's so bad, you get yourself fired.
Now, know that the earlier in your career you are, the worse your judgment is on what is a good use of your time, talent, energy, company money, and those resources that Sarah was just talking about. You don't know all that information early in your career.
Mm-hmm.
And because your knowledge is so much more limited, this is when those mistakes happen.
Yeah.
It's not really a failing on your part. It's really just a fact of life.
Yeah. Like all the people. Mm-hmm. The younger you are, the less you know about everything.
Yeah. We all start at the beginning. We've been there. Now, the more experienced you are, the more you recognize that you know what this idea is and what to work on and when it's a good one, and that you need to tell your boss up front in order to get her buy-in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the important part. As you go through your career, you know that you need your boss's buy-in.
Yeah. You know when you need your boss's buy-in versus not. Yeah.
Yes. And by the time you get that good judgment, you realize you still have to do the behavior.
Yeah, exactly. Now, don't be put off if your boss doesn't think that your idea or your proposal is a good one. You're going to come to them with some super cool idea, something you think can revolutionize the way y'all do work over there, and your boss is not going to think it's that cool. And this is just part of the learning process. But let's remember that your boss was once as junior as you are today. Your boss probably brought a lot of cool ideas to their boss, and their boss poo-pooed all over their ideas too. So it's nothing new. It's just being a more junior professional when talking to a more senior professional. That is, your boss knows why the idea is not a good one, because maybe the return on investment isn't sufficient or whatever it may be. And whatever those reasons are, which your boss will no doubt share with you of this cool idea you brought, those are ideas, or those bits of knowledge are ones you can store away into your bank for next time. So you know the risks of potential future ideas going forward.
Yeah, and don't let them saying no to your idea get you down, because again, circling back to before, they know more about the organization than you do, because that's their job.
Because that's their job.
Now, the considerations we're going to give you are basic considerations your boss will make before giving you the go-ahead to work on something that's considered going above and beyond. If you can't honestly say that you can pass these hurdles, we'd say it's not worth having the conversation with your boss at all. If you can, then draft up a proposal, present it to your boss, and only then start the work.
Exactly. Okay, so these are the things to consider before you go to your boss. First, only ask when you have enough time. Only when you've met all of your deadlines for the baseline work which you're responsible should you consider going above and beyond. And while it's tempting to demonstrate your intelligence, your creativity, the innovation that you're capable of by doing more than you've been asked, it's important to consider the context and impact of your actions.
Right. If going above and beyond means missing a deadline, it's unlikely to be appreciated by your boss and or your peers.
Yeah.
While the intention behind taking on this additional task or project may be noble and you're doing it from the goodness of your heart, it's really essential to prioritize your existing responsibilities and ensure that you deliver on time. Consistently meeting deadlines demonstrates reliability and professionalism. If going above and beyond means you consistently don't meet deadlines, you're not doing something better. You're doing something worse.
Exactly. So, as a simple example, I think that one we can all get on board with. Imagine that every day you order your lunch from the exact same lunch place. You place your order at 9 a.m. and at 12 o'clock noon, you walk the block to the lunch place to pick up your lunch. And it's never ready when you arrive. And at 12:20, you finally get your sandwich. And let me be clear, your sandwich is beautifully wrapped. There are cucumber slices that have been like cut in these like little swirly patterns. There's a tomato rosette on the side. It's this beautiful little sandwich, but it was late. And now you have to gulp down your beautiful little sandwich just in order to get back to your desk on time. So how long do you think you're going to keep going to that same lunch place? If it's me, not very long. It doesn't matter how beautiful the sandwich is. It's the timeliness that matters.
Yeah, nobody wants to see me hangry. And that's what happens. It doesn't matter how pretty that sandwich is.
Nuh-uh. I'll stick my rosette in your eye.
Now, similarly, if you're going above and beyond requires others to miss their deadlines, it will also not be perceived positively. Impacting other people's deadlines is never going to go over well. Collaboration and teamwork are fundamental in most work environments, and it's important to respect the schedules and commitments of your colleagues. Taking on any additional work should not come at the expense of others. You need to understand the impact that your actions have on their deadlines, both for you and them. It's a crucial aspect of determining when to go above and beyond. While the desire to showcase all of your wonderful capabilities, you know, that's commendable. However, it's essential to strike a balance between the extra responsibilities and meeting your existing commitments or deadlines.
Exactly. Okay, so that's one, I'm going to call it one checkpoint to pass through, right? Are all of your other deadlines met? Another is when you have enough resources. So going the extra mile often requires additional resources, such as time or money or the assistance of others. Rarely are there these things that we can do to go above and beyond that impact nobody and nothing around us. So when you work within a company, know those other resources aren't yours. They belong to the company. And you have a duty to consider whether using them is in the best interest of the company overall, not just something you want to do.
Now we have an example for this one. It's in sales. So it's easy for salespeople to make sales if they offer discounts or additional benefits to the customer that increase the value of money that the customer gets. And for the most part, everyone has been in this situation, like purchasing a car, right? When you purchase a car, we expect the salesperson to throw in all of those extra fun things, those car mats, the mud flaps, if you live somewhere where it rains, that extra special paint coat. We desperately need that in Phoenix for the sun. So they better throw that in. Now, even though those salespeople, they're throwing it in for fun and extra, know that those are already things that they know that they were going to pin the deal. They knew that ahead of time before you even showed up.
Exactly.
Before you walked into the showroom, that was all prepared. As good as it feels, there's nothing special or new about it.
Exactly. And those things for a salesperson to throw in are fine. They're planned for. The salesperson and the company they work for know well in advance that those are the things that they can throw in to sweeten the deal. However, if in order to make the sale, the salesperson upgrades the car model, meaning they're going to be giving you $5,000 or even $10,000 worth of value on a $50,000 to $60,000 deal, and again, that value's not been planned for, it's not been costed in, then that salesperson will have gone above and beyond to satisfy you, the customer, and not helping their company at all.
Now, when you're in the position of the salesperson, whether dealing with an outside customer or an internal colleague, it can be easy to want to agree to do one more thing or go above and beyond to satisfy their needs. However, if everyone does this every single time, all over the company will die a death of a thousand cuts.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And let me be clear. Hi, Eyes, we're talking to you on this one. Okay, so what we mean by that is when it comes to other people, it's important to consider whether involving others would place an undue burden on them or their resources. So, for instance, if your idea for an innovative new project relies heavily on someone else's time or financial support, it's critical to seek their consent and evaluate whether it aligns with their priorities and available resources or not.
And it's easy to be seen as wasting company resources on an idea of your own or just to satisfy a customer or colleague in a way that's not sustainable. As we said, before you take action, talk to your boss. The newer you are in the role, the more often you need to do this. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's what they're there for. They want to not have to apologize for you, right? Our previous point, they don't want to have to apologize for you for something that was out of their control. That
exactly.
shouldn't have been. Right?
Exactly.
And know that over time, you're going to develop the judgment you need to be able to do this for yourself.
Yeah.
Whether it's the actions you will need to take or those that aren't going to benefit the company, you're going to learn those. It just takes some time and experience.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, it definitely pays to be cautious.
Exactly.
Our M conference is next week, and we are so excited if you're joining us. We've got a lot of executive level speakers talking about what it takes to create culture, how to help influence your team, your organization, how to really honestly deal with some of the changes that are coming. We're going to talk about generative AI. We might also have a manager tools surprise announcement, and that'll all be next week in Chicago. If you'd like to register, you can go online to manager-tools.com/training and join us at the M conference next week in Chicago. Hope to see you there.
So again, before you go to your boss and ask them, consider, do you have enough time? Do you have enough resources? And is the impact great enough? That is, the bigger the impact, the more worthwhile it is to put in above and beyond efforts. If your actions have the potential to yield substantial benefits, such as securing a major business opportunity or generating considerable time savings in the future, it might be worth taking those extra steps.
There's a well-known XKCD cartoon called Is It Worth the Time? And it answers the question, how long can you work on making a routine task more efficient before you're spending more time than you save? Now, this is across 5 years. It shows a table with, on one axis, columns of how often do you do the task? And on the other rows, how much time do you shave off?
Mm-hmm. So, y'all, envision these XY axes that Amanda just described, and envision the graph, which shows you that if you do something 50 times a day and you can shave off 1 second, you can work on it for up to a day before you're working on it for more time than you'll save over the course of 5 years. If you do something daily and you can shave off 30 minutes, you can work on that thing for 5 weeks. This also means that if you only work on it for 2 days and you manage to shave off 30 minutes, you've saved 4 weeks and 3 days over the course of 5 years for doing something other than the thing that you just made simpler.
It's a lot of time over 5 years.
It's a lot of time over, and it's a worthwhile investment, I would say, when it comes
Absolutely.
Back to this point. But guys, something to keep in mind is this table and others that are similar to it are helpful in that they show very clearly the upside and downside of going above and beyond. A lot of the time, the work we do that's above and beyond is the work we want to do, the work we like to do, the work that's interesting to us, and that which we can fool ourselves into believing is valuable.
That's a great point. Most people are not going to choose work that's not interesting or that they want to do.
Exactly.
Talking about the valuable work that we want to do, when we do the work to prove it, we sometimes find out that it's not valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn this even before we make any approach to our boss.
That's exactly it. Sometimes it feels like it's going to make this big dent in the way we do things. If it's saving you 1 second every time you do it, it may not actually be worth the time spent. So then an additional item to consider before going to your boss about one of these above and beyond tasks is consider doing it only when you won't drop any balls. That is, if going above and beyond in one area means dropping balls in another, then you need to think carefully about those impacts before you consider doing this new activity. Sometimes it's worth it in the short term. However, in general, going above and beyond on one task while neglecting other tasks is counterproductive and diminishes your overall performance.
So what you need to do is evaluate your current workload and the commitments you have to determine if you have the capacity to handle the additional tasks without sacrificing quality or timeliness of your existing obligations.
Exactly. And one other thing to consider before approaching these above and beyond things is consider doing so when you have career goals in this area. Now, this might not be your first criteria. It might not be the first criteria your boss thinks of either, but it is one which you should consider in respect to these above and beyond tasks. The things in which you excel are often the ones you'll be asked to continue excelling in. If you hate doing the thing that you're considered to be doing more of, don't do more of that thing except in rare circumstances. It can be easy to get to know as the IT guy who can fix spreadsheets. Just because you're good at it, you're going to do a lot of it. But oftentimes, as you know firsthand, you loathe those spreadsheets.
It's necessary to align your above and beyond efforts with your career goals for your long-term satisfaction and growth. You need to consider whether the area in which you're considering exceeding expectations aligns with your aspirations and professional trajectory. It's important to focus your extra efforts on the areas that showcase your strengths and align with those long-term goals. So even if you're really good at it, if you loathe it, think about where to focus it, where you want to be in the future for going above and beyond. Going above and beyond in these areas that don't align with your career aspirations may lead you to burnout or dissatisfaction in the long run. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that to happen long term in your career.
No, we do not. Okay, so to wrap it all up, going above and beyond is a way to get ahead in your career. However, it's something that has to be done with more care and more strategically than most people believe, which is especially true the earlier you are in your career. Don't be put off in that you've been told no a few times to these new ideas. Your boss has way more knowledge than you do. Just learn from your boss and direct your efforts more carefully in the future. Conservation of effort for the right things is something human beings are very good at. So apply that to the workplace. It's just a new application of a skill you've already got. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you, Sarah. That's a good one.
That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye.